Ben is dead. And no, you might be wondering, Zach, I'm so sorry. Was it Ben one of your closest friends? No, he's dead. Not anymore. What do we do now? Well, it's just me. So, here I go, reviewing Bullet Train. He got a 54% on Rotten Tomatoes, 49% on Metacritic, a 7.5 on IMDb. 90% of Google users liked this movie. And the bullet train was very fast. Now we are going to analyze the physics of the bullet train. Let me read a few physics equations for you to get started. Let me get them up. And we have a new co-host. Her name is Amy Schumer, and she's very good. I know people don't necessarily like her, but she's actually really, really funny. I was just with her. We got Applebee's, and she had the chicken parmesan, and I had the apple fritter. And we split, and we each got a knife and fork and put it in each other's mouths, and we really hit it off. I'll just say that. It was really good. It was really good. X equals velocity times time. Okay. That's all you need to know. Okay. Anyway, Ben is here with us. He's not dead.
I'm alive. I'm
Thank goodness. Not dead. Because, as you have known, it would have been a very boring episode with just me, and we love Ben.
It would have been incredibly boring. Oh my goodness. I would have come back from the dead just so you guys wouldn't have to bear through that hour long of Zach just
and Amy Schumer.
He would start just reciting like organic chemistry into the microphone just out of reflex because he's been storing that information in his brain since he took OChem 1. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Everything that makes Zach interesting is because I'm here.
That's right. True. No, it is. Don't laugh. Stop making that face. It like, is.
I'm joking.
You're not joking, because it is true.
It's a ha-ha moment.
It's not that ha-ha if it's true.
If it's true. Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
True.
But we are actually, he didn't lie the whole time. We are actually reviewing Bullet Train.
And Ben will be dead.
And so today, the day we watch the movie, I believe this will be coming out. I've kind of jumped around with when I actually release the episodes, but it's landing on that we're kind of releasing episodes in the Tuesday, Wednesday range at this point.
There's a range.
Or maybe Thursday, depending on...
Monday through Saturday,
sometime throughout the week.
If it happens at all.
If it happens. And I might just forget to do it, and it won't come out until next
week. And he might remember and just choose not to.
Yeah, that's definitely happened.
Ben has choices.
Be like, oh man, I really just... That's not what I feel like doing right now. I'll wait till tomorrow to do that.
And that's all right. Ben, we respect your time.
But this should be coming out sometime next week. But today is the 3rd and it's National Cinema Day.
Mm.
So if we had a soundboard, I'd be hitting the clap.
Mm.
Like the people clapping. Because that's what they did in the movie theater today after the movie.
Mm. Mm.
There was a lot of white people.
I resonate with that.
There's a lot of white people.
Like the airplane.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand. That's all right. You don't offend me then. You can never offend me. But
just so everyone knows, I'm also white.
So. Yes, no, you're not. As the bullet train zooms by, so are we with this review, because we don't really know what we're going to talk about, because this movie, Ben and I have just seen it, and it was all right.
It was zippy.
Yeah, it was zippy.
And it had Brad Pitt in it, which is, that's a good way to start.
It had a lot of great stars, actually, but that wasn't the good part. Maybe we should start with the good, you know, the great things about it.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. Maybe we should pull off that.
There was not many ugly.
What do you mean by that?
Most of the people in the movie were attractive movie stars.
That is actually true. A very attractive cast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I will say the greatest part of the movie for me was probably the... How should I put this without lying? The creativity... of the fight scenes, the creativity of some of the scenes. Some of the jokes were actually very clever. Some of them... and some of the dialogue was very clever. Some of the jokes were clever. Clever. But, you know, I would say to a detriment, they were prolonged and extended way too long, including the movie. That was also extended way too long.
Agreed.
Yeah, Ben and I kind of looked at each other a couple times, just like, is this going to be over?
I like knew that it was 2 hours and 6 minutes, and I was like, please be there, like, please make it so that there's like a 15-minute credit scene at the end somehow, or like the credits is just like super long.
I hope 100,000 people worked on this movie.
Because I didn't want to sit there for... I mean, I just couldn't believe that they were able to make the movie go this long, because the premise allows it to be a perfect hour and a half movie. Mm. Like, it's a self-contained... It's in the genre of like movies that are shot in, or mostly in one location the whole movie. Like Panic Room or something
Saw.
Like that. Saw. And they do utilize flashbacks quite a bit in order to give backstory, which allows them to go out of the room sometimes. Although I think flashbacks can kind of be a, you know, a detriment to the movie. Although they did have a really funny like dig at themselves at the end of the movie. When they had this water bottle that was like a prop in the movie, and then at the end, like during the serious action, like the climax of the movie, they just do a flashback of the water bottle's life, and that kind of, I thought that was pretty funny.
Ben was laughing,
like,
yeah.
I was like, that's like my kind of humor. Like they got this like stupid bit and they went with it the whole way. Mm. They did everything. They went back to when it got stuck and how they got the Fiji water and how it rolled to the guy at the point where he used it to throw it at another character. But it was just... that had that kind of stuff in it mixed in with like a... I wouldn't call this a serious movie at all, but it had like a... It did have like a plot and like a... Maybe a point to it. Maybe it didn't. It was about fate. So it didn't really offer any like major philosophical things other than fate happens and, you know, that's it.
No, I'm still digesting it. I think there could have been a point, but no, they very deliberately did not make a big point, at least. They had maybe a few sub-points that were cliche jokes. But this is like a movie to me that is meant to be a comedy, I think. I mean, it is. Yes, it is. But it also tries to be serious in some moments and then cut straight to the comedy. Somewhat like a Thor Ragnarok or Thor Love and Thunder even would be a better example. Where it kind of just undercuts the serious parts, but it also does it on purpose, you know, because you're not really invested in the characters and they know that, and I don't think they care about the character, any of the characters.
No, I think most of the characters are supposed to be kind of like, none of them are really good people. It's like a bunch of people who are not good, like who have done bad things to each other, trying to all get revenge on each other at one time, in a sense. Like it ends up being a huge like setup by this Russian mafia boss who's in Japan running the underground scene. He's trying to set everybody up because of this whole thing where his wife got assassinated, and he pieces together all these things like, the surgeon could have saved her, but this girl poisoned her, and I had to go clean up this thing in Bolivia, but these two idiots who are assassins named Lemon and Tangerine, they were out there, you know, messing with my stuff, and I couldn't be there, and then my son... He was in prison, so my wife had to go out, which is like, all this is like circumstantial stuff. And he's like, you have to take fate into your own hands and that sort of thing.
There's
this whole logic behind this, all this like elaborate setup on the bullet train.
I thought that was really dumb.
Yeah.
Just like, it was such a circumstance. You're like, is this guy so dumb to think that it was actually their fault?
Well, it's also like, he's supposed to be the most heartless person of all time, right? Mm-hmm. And that, but yet you're supposed to believe that he cares about his wife so much that... It's like that he needs to do all of this.
I mean, he killed his own son.
Yeah.
He put his daughter through a lot of bad things.
Yeah.
And he loves his wife, apparently. You know, he's really compartmentalizes his life, I guess.
Yeah.
He's a true guy.
Yeah, that's true. I guess maybe it's not too unrealistic.
Man, that could have been us one day. I just need to grow out my hair. But yeah, I think the self-contained narrative was great. I think if it was, apart from the flashbacks, it was all in the bullet train. And I thought that was good because you do get to see all the cars. You get to see the front and the back and the outside of the bullet train for different scenes and different setups. So it was pretty interesting. And there's a lot of, you know, drama, maybe social drama that can occur, surprisingly, with good writing. This was subpar writing, but with good writing, it can happen. Between all the different characters, you know, then the audience knows more than the characters know. So as they meet each other, you're like, oh, this is cool. But then a lot of times it would subvert your expectations, like the little girl being the daughter of the boss, the big white death. And, you know, the lemon and tangerine actually being brothers, and you know, all these things that could have been easily predictable by the audience, but, you know, twisted a lot of, let's just call them unintelligent people in the theater.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to say that.
No, but, I'm saying that they were unintelligent.
These are not the people who are necessarily going to see like art house cinema. So their standards for what makes a good movie are not necessarily at the same level.
What? They're actually brothers? What? This is the daughter.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it was like anytime there was something revealed, people would audibly like gasp.
And it made me mad.
And then somebody was like, "Oh, they're brothers."
Like, were you not mad?
I mean, yeah, a little bit.
Do you get less mad than I do? Sometimes,
like with some of the jokes, it would be like somebody would laugh so loud at a joke that I'm like, that's like kind of a funny joke.
Did you want to tell them that they're laughing too loud or no?
No, not really. Okay. I was like, they're having a good time. It's National Cinema Day.
See, I'm not as celebrative as you. I'm more cynical, and I felt the urge to like take action, but there was a couple times. There was one guy in the back in particular that I kept trying to look up at, just like make eye contact with him once.
So we're those guys at the movie theaters who are like, you have to have a serious film viewing experience.
No, I'm not even saying that. I'm saying don't laugh at stupid things when I'm trying to watch the movie. Don't bring your kids, all right? Take them to Minions or, I don't know,
They should Deals. Not be at this movie. I just want to say
no, that. It's this violent.
This movie was so violent. Mm. I was a little shocked. Yeah. And I've seen violent movies before, but this movie was like not the type of movie I expected to be this violent.
Mm.
It was kind of like over-the-top violence, like Kill Bill or something like that.
It was like Kingsman. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen Kingsman.
It is just like Kingsman, exactly like it. Who's cool fight scenes.
Who directed this movie?
David Leitch.
What did he do?
He did something else I just watched recently. I can't remember. But he, you know, he's like the action guy. He does a lot of funny movies, I think.
Oh, he's done Atomic Blonde.
Yeah.
And he did the first John Wick.
Oh, okay.
Did he actually? No. He was uncredited as the first. He co-directed John Wick, the first one.
Yeah, weren't there like some secret directors for those?
Maybe. Maybe that's the deal with that.
Now, the star, the stars.
He also did Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, great.
Now, does that make sense?
It does. Now, the stars in this movie were actually pretty cool. You know, the star was Channing Tatum and Ryan Reynolds, obviously. And Brad Pitt. And
who's Channing Tatum character?
The guy. I forget who he...
His whole thing was like... I didn't even really get the jokes, like the sex jokes he was making. Like, they didn't really make sense to me. Maybe it's because the one guy had a British accent. He's like, is this a sex thing? Is this a sex thing? Is this a sex thing?
I don't know. I mean, I'll admit, I did not understand it either.
I was like, I didn't see anything that would make you think that, but...
No, I'm not going to act like I know more. I don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brad Pitt, you had, what's the girl from Deadpool was the poison girl, the wasp, or not the wasp, whatever.
I haven't seen the second Deadpool either, but this guy did direct the second Deadpool, so...
That's right. Yeah, she's in it. And, a lot of great people. And that kind of helped it for me. Like when someone famous would just show up out of nowhere, like when Channing Tatum just showed up out of or Ryan Reynolds,
like, whoa!
They're like, yeah, it's great. You know, it's like
or Ryan Reynolds, yeah.
It's like Doctor Strange opens the portal and Ryan Reynolds comes through. You know, it's just kind of, it was great. But you know, you're just kind of sitting there by the third half, the third half of the movie, you're kind of just really
exhausted.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit done, and then and it's, I don't know, the ending is like satisfying, but it's just kind of like
could have happened a long time ago.
Yeah, it leaves you feeling a little bit just like you're kind of just glad that maybe that's how you're supposed to feel, because like the whole thing is that he just wants to get off the train.
I have one critique that could have fixed the whole movie.
What?
You take out the storyline with that grandson and the stupid grandson in the hospital.
Yeah. What? That storyline made no sense.
You take out the grandpa, the samurai grandpa. You take out his son. You take out the whole generation of the family.
You take out the daughter?
No, you leave her in. You get her to get on the train and bring people in you just make up something else. It's so easy. You don't need those three characters. They took up a lot of time. They took up the sword fight. They took up the hospital scenes. They took up him saying those jokes and stuff like that. They had nothing to do with the main plot. They were a B plot that integrated itself at the end. They did not need to be in it. Yeah, and I think also, it would have cut out a lot. I
understand the shoving off the hospital. Like, off the... That made no sense. Why would that be the thing? Why not just, like, kidnap him? Why do you have to shove him off the roof?
I don't... She was like a 15-year-old girl. Give her a break, Ben. I'm just joking. I hated her.
She was annoying.
She was snobby. Now, if they took that out, you know, it would have been an hour and 45, maybe.
And also, how was nobody able to tell that girl, whatever her name was, like, so obviously the villain?
She's dressed like Dora.
Yeah, like... And I don't know. I just, that whole crying thing, I just feel like it wouldn't work in real life.
No, I think the real thing that does not work is, where were the train attendants the entire movie?
Where was anybody in the train?
Did they not know that the back of the... did they not know that they pushed another train off the rail? Like, where is the conductor? Where is the attendants?
Yeah, like, and then when he jumps onto the moving train and breaks the window.
Yeah, but I'm talking about when they hit the other train.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they hit it right off. And I was like, where's the conductor?
I thought at that point they had left, because, like, it was like he staged the whole thing so everyone was getting off the train. They just didn't kind of, like, show that. It just kind of happened.
You know, that would actually make sense. Never mind. Okay.
But I do think that there's some things that happened. Like, why was nobody ever in the bar car? Like, no one was ever in there.
I don't know. I mean, it's late, you know? People should be in there. But yeah, there was just a lot of things that you had to kind of numb your mind for. I don't really know what else to say. This movie's kind of just, it's there, it exists, and it's fun to watch. And I was engaged most of the time, you know. For the first two-thirds of the movie, it was engaging. I was laughing at a bunch of parts. There's a really clever scene where they have to prove that they have a suitcase, and he's holding up this fake suitcase, and he pretends that he doesn't know the combination on it, so he, like, spins the combination, and he's showing it, and it was the perfect combination, and the suitcase opens. He didn't mean to, and, like, this bra and stuff falls out, and it was just super funny. I thought that was clever writing. I'd never seen something like that, but...
It was supposed to be, like, he's unlucky, too, so he, like, does something, and then it's, like, because he's unlucky, it happens. Yeah. That's the whole theme of this movie is that Brad Pitt's character is unlucky, Ladybug or whatever his name is, and the daughter, who goes by the Prince, she is lucky, and so that's supposed to, they're like pitted against each other, lucky, unlucky, and then you got Lemon and Tangerine, who I think Lemon and Tangerine were my two favorite characters in the movie.
They showed more, like, they were funny at the beginning, but they showed more heart as it went on.
Yeah.
Because they loved each other. And the thing is, like, here's Thomas the Tank Engine stuff. Yes, you told me before this that was really long joke that they should have probably ended.
Yeah,
soon.
Like, it was funny the first couple times, and then they kept doing it. And I was like, does this really work? Like, do I really think it's funny anymore?
It didn't, but it was a good thing. I liked it because we fell back on it a lot. And it was just kind of like, yes, she's the Diesel, you know?
Yeah. That is true. Did time pass?
And we have discovered that Ben is an Edward, and I am most likely a Thomas or James. We're still figuring that out, though.
Yeah, I could see you as a Thomas.
I don't think I would be a Gordon, though.
No.
You don't think I'm domineering?
No.
Okay. Do you think I'm a wimp like Percy?
What about Henry?
Henry? No.
Henry.
Yeah. No, I'm not
a Henry.
He's
the green one, and he's kind of like, he's the skittish or like,
he's the schizophrenic
one. He's like the same type of engine as Gordon, but he's like a lot more shy.
No, yeah, I don't think I would green. Be. No, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
I don't think I would be him though.
No, you wouldn't be him.
No,
I just wanted to talk about Henry.
Okay, that's so cute, Ben. Yeah, no, Ben's definitely an Edward. You know, he's chill, he's laid back. You can have a good conversation with him. He's respectful. You know, he's not gonna go out of his way to hurt anyone. So, but he's also, you know, crashed into a lot
timbers
of people.
And ashes.
Yeah,
you know what these cinders and ashes.
And I'm the one who gets to drive around Sir Topham Hatt.
So, oh yeah,
you know, I get that privilege. And the show's named.
But you're also a tank engine, not a real locomotive.
I know. Okay, but I've sold more toys worldwide than you. All right,
that's a good point.
Two children.
Actually, is Ed? No, wait. I can't remember. I don't think Edward's a tank engine. We're gonna have to look this up.
It's pretty important. I don't know, but it was nice. I forgot about that show, honestly,
until yeah, no, I didn't think about it too much. No, he's got a cool train. Did you have all the trains when you were little?
Man, I was such a weird little kid. My parents always tell me that when I was little, I would, like, I had hundreds of these trains, and I would line them all up in my parents' little house and just, like, play with them for hours and hours and hours. And I had a lot of different kinds of Thomases and Gordons and Percys and James and Edwards and, you know, Diesels and Salties and all different types. And, you know, even Lady. Remember when they made the movie where yeah. he meets Lady? That was a good one. I thought that was such a special movie. I was like, Thomas got a girlfriend, Mom. Mom, Thomas got a girlfriend.
Oh, we had Lady, yeah.
And she was like, really? Wow. And I know she didn't care. Like, I, not oh. knowing.
Do you remember Diesel 10 from that movie?
Yes, Diesel 10.
We had Diesel 10. And he was always the villain.
Yeah, he was like the weird puke green one.
Yeah, with like the claw.
Yes, yes. Yeah, he was weird. Yeah, he was the villain in the movie. Yes, I remember now.
I don't remember. I don't think I maybe even ever watched that movie, but we had all the trains. So, you know, Diesel 10 was chasing everyone around the track.
No, I think Lady comes out of like a magical tunnel and Thomas is there and he like has to save her from Diesel 10 and Diesel's there too.
But I don't remember. Was Diesel a bad character?
Yeah, Diesel was like a jerk, but Diesel 10 kind of made Diesel go worse. You know, he like influenced him.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's how it was. It was like Diesel 10 was like the way that we could make Diesel a little bit more likable by making Diesel 10 worse.
Oh, you know? I see.
It's like the villains and the heroes have to team up against the worst villain, common enemy. Now, Diesel's usually the subject of antagonism in the rest of the episodes. But this was a special movie where they needed to subvert the audience's expectations. All the two-year-olds around the world were flabbergasted. It was amazing. And I remember just telling my mom, like, Mom, can we go to the store and buy Thomas? And my mom knew, like, that meant any train. Doesn't mean Thomas every time. So this lady named Miss Dorothy would take me out every Friday. Every Friday, Ben. Maybe it was once a month. Once a month on a Friday, let's say that. And she would go to this, we would go to Target. We would buy a new train for me. And like a Thomas one. And I remember her very vividly. I actually saw her, like, last year. I hadn't seen her in, like, 10 years. And she's great. Yeah, she took me for years. She did that. And I'd line them up, play with them, and I love Thomas. So maybe that's why I liked it more than you, Ben. I resonate with Thomas in the tanks.
I'm reading the Thomas the Tank Engine wiki right now, and it's full of very interesting information about.
Does he have a kid with Lady?
Diesel 10. No, I don't know that that's the case. It's kind of a car scenario. It gets a little weird.
Now they have. I know there was like some rumors going around where Thomas was a terrorist.
Yeah, there were some memes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He, like, had a bomb strapped.
Anything that's, like harmless kid stuff gets turned into some dark meme eventually.
Like Elmo?
Or Barney. Barney was... Well, Barney's just weird, but...
Well, Barney put that on himself.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
But anyway. Elmo, yeah. Also, Elmo reminds me of... I believe the Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared TV show is coming out this month.
This month? Yes. Yeah. Oh, Ben, yes. I forgot.
I hope there's a way to watch that.
I did forget. Somehow. Now, that is a puppet show that we've highly recommend children to watch.
Yes. Specifically children.
Yes. Adults, you might not understand it. These children will. That might actually be true, though. Children understand more things on the internet than adults.
I think it's on Channel 4 on the BBC, so I kind of think that you might be able to watch it.
Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. It's going to be on actual TV channel?
Yes, but it's a British TV channel.
Yeah, but is it going to be on streaming? That's what people use now.
Yeah, so I'm going to look into that. Okay. I'm going to look into that.
Look into it, because that's important. But yeah, I think the Thomas stuff... there was a mascot that they had. It was like Momongo or something like that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That was cool. I thought that was funny. You know, it's just like little kids' car.
And then ended up being a character in the movie.
And that was obvious, too, because at the beginning, she doesn't want to give him the suitcase, you know? It's just like, oh, yes, of course that's a character. But then when she unmasks herself, the lady next to me was like, oh, my goodness. I was like about to hit her.
Like, hit him. You couldn't have seen that coming?
Yeah, it just made me mad. Like, just imagine, Ben, being like, when the first time you see that, like, oh my goodness, I didn't know this entire time. If that was you, Ben, we wouldn't be doing this podcast.
You'd be like, Ben, Just hang it up. Hang up the microphone.
Yeah, hang up your heart. Just put it on the rack. Take off your socks and put your feet in a bath and just cut them off. Anyway, no, it was cool. I think the fight scene, especially when they crash the train at the end and he like falls right on it. I mean, yeah. It's just some clever.
How did everyone survive the crash at the end?
No, it's fate. And it's just all unrealistic and stupid and silly. Maybe that's why we don't like it, Ben. Maybe it's because we were hoping it would be a little bit more cool and serious and not like kiddish.
Yeah.
But like it was also very violent. I don't know. It's a mix.
Well, I don't know whether it's that, because I feel like it has a lot of elements that are like should make for a good action comedy, but there's just not enough good elements.
What other elements could there be?
That's what I'm saying. There's not anything else you could do with this movie that would make it better, but
just shorten it to an hour and a half.
Shorten it for one.
So would that be the only solution though?
I like your idea of getting rid of those characters.
Yeah, I mean, that would shorten
it. That takes out the whole, like, Japanese plot of the movie, though.
But I was just so bored with those characters.
And the whole samurai. Yeah, maybe it just doesn't know what it wants to be, because it's, like, sort of a mystery, sort of an action thriller, sort of a revenge story. It's, like, trying to be everything.
And can't be everything,
and it pulls its influences, like, Kill Bill and, like,
yeah, the swords.
What Train to Busan. I'm just making that up. I don't actually know whether it bases anything off of that.
It's
but
not.
I would guess it's that not. There's a train involved, so maybe somewhat.
Yeah, it's not.
Something you can just say random movies and you're like, well, this movie was based off Seven Samurai.
It's based off eight or was Super Eight.
Super Eight. It was based off Stranger Things.
It was based off
No, I swear there's
Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
You know what
Mitty.
Movie it kinda did actually remind me of? The movie we saw earlier this year. Everything Everywhere All at Once. How it reminded me of it was some of the stylistic choices, how colorful it was, and how they like sped up and slowed things down sometimes.
Is this A24?
It's not.
Okay, that makes sense.
But it's kind of like a... Well, the thing that Everything Everywhere All at Once does is it's actually does something that's like different than the mainstream in terms of comedy and in terms of... plotting and storyline and everything like that. This feels very like commercial.
This is more of a, there's less emotion in this than there was Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, there's no huge emotional peak that they're pushing for. It's actually like the opposite. It's actually like they undercut most of the emotional peaks.
It's like Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Except less.
Yeah, yeah.
Less.
Yeah.
Less random, I'd say.
I see that.
A little bit more structured.
More structured. But like at the end of the movie, you're like, well, most of the characters died. And then the ones who didn't ended up killing other characters who they didn't like.
Yeah.
And it was like, you get this whole... And then there's all it's really about is karma and fate and stuff that's not really like that interesting to talk about in movies. So, yeah.
Yeah, maybe because this was on... If you've listened to my watch list or our watch list, we talked... Was this on your list too?
It might have been.
This was like high up on my list. It's severely disappointing.
Yeah, I think it disappointed what I thought it could have been.
For my list, though, of the year, this was in the top five or something, and I was so excited, or 10 maybe. So it was severely disappointing that I'm considering not even liking it for it to be on my list. And I've been pretty disappointed by a lot of movies this year. You know, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I've watched more movies, like more new movies this year than I normally
That's what do. I mean. Like the movies we said were coming out this year.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of them I haven't been that excited by. Because just looking at a list, the only movies that I'd consider to be like good that I've watched from this year are... why is Doctor Strange rated a 4? Anyway. Are Everything Everywhere All at Once and the Batman, and I guess Top Gun maybe, but
Batman met my expectations. Everything, whatever, actually superseded them. Everything else, Doctor Strange and Thor, were both way below what I expected. Although my expectations weren't even that high in the first place, especially for Thor. That one was more disappointing for me.
And Lightyear was not that good.
No, but I did not expect. People had told me it was bad before. But like last year, if they said that, I was so excited. Chris Evans, yes, I love Chris Evans, but no, it was terrible.
Another movie that was good is The Black Phone.
That was good. It superseded my expectations because I didn't know what it was about. Yeah. I had not watched the trailer.
I think it kind of met my expectations.
Yeah. But maybe I was expecting low. Saying it superseded. Now, Avatar comes out December. We'll be reviewing that.
We basically got a rundown of all the movies that are coming out.
We did. There were a lot coming out. Black Panther.
I'm excited about the one you might have missed it, but Amsterdam.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
David O. Russell.
That's on my list. They didn't put Oppenheimer on there.
Well, that's not until next year.
It isn't.
Not until next.
But there's
July 2023.
Jeez, they put the trailer out so early.
Yeah, well, they're trying to get people hyped for it. Okay. It's Nolan.
Okay. Yeah, well, Amsterdam looks good. Robert De Niro and, right?
Is it De Niro? Yeah, I think so.
And Don't Worry, Darling. I do want to see that one.
I'm not sure whether I'll like it, but I'm excited for it.
Amsterdam or Darling?
Darling.
Okay.
Amsterdam has Christian Bale, Margot Robbie, John David Washington, Anya Taylor-Joy, Michael B. Jordan, Robert De Niro, Rami Malek, and Taylor Swift.
Oh, Rami Malek.
What a cast is that?
What is Taylor Swift going to do in there? They're just throwing her in there.
They put her like second, and she probably is going to be in there for like one second. Chris Rock's also in it. Mike Myers. Yeah, lots of people.
That'll be cool.
Definitely an ensemble cast in that movie.
Yeah, that'll be really cool. But I think, was my number one hype Avatar? It might have been.
Somebody go check the episode.
It was high. Now, Avatar, I'm actually only growing in excitement for. I'd said this before on my previous thing, listened to it in depth, but James Cameron's been working on this for a long time. He has all the sequels already planned, and the first one was pretty good. You know, it wasn't, I wouldn't call it a masterpiece, but it broke ground. It was great, especially in the visual realm. Now I'm excited to see, this movie has to do something in the visual realm that's crazy, doesn't it?
You think.
And is he going to do it four more times? I don't know. We'll see. It could suck. It could be like the new Star Wars. I was excited for for Force Awakens. You know, it looked really good in the trailer.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, okay. And this might just be okay. And if it is, then James Cameron ends on a low note, which sucks because the last films he's made have been like the two or like the three biggest movies ever. Ever. Think about that. Like,
what was it?
I don't remember.
Avatar, Titanic. Some other movie.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. And he's left on a high note.
Terminator.
And it's been on two. A really, really big. It's been a long time since he's made a movie. Like 14. Was it 14 years maybe? And it's just like.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, I'm really excited for this guy. This guy is coming back. If Jon Favreau were to make a movie, I would be excited. Another one. Recent.
What's the last one he's made?
I don't know. But that's like my excitement is in James.
Yeah.
Mr. James.
Please actually live up to expectations.
Yeah, and that's hard to do right now, you know? With the Lord of the Rings show coming out and House of Dragon, you got lots of follow-ups to big franchises that will ultimately fail. We know that. Everything has failed in their sequels.
Except for Top Gun Maverick somehow.
Yeah, no, that is a rare exception. I have not seen a big commercial successful sequel.
I shouldn't say commercial. But there's a reason for it. And I don't want to say too much, actually, because we're actually planning to cover both Top Guns in the near future. So I will leave my theories as to why it was so successful for then. But I do want to mention a lot of destruction in this movie, which leads into insurance extremely well because, oh boy, there was some carnage at the site of the accident for the bullet train. And you're going to want some serious insurance for that. And who you want to call?
Can I answer that?
Yeah.
Let me think. Oh, Hedman Anglin Agency.
Yeah. Hedman Anglin Agency. They're home destruction busters. They don't stop it from getting destroyed, but they...
Destroy it.
As they allow you to have insurance that protects you in the instance that you have something destructive happen and... What, are you going to have a big pile of cash just laying around?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no.
You're not going to have that.
Okay.
So so instead, you should save money. You'll still have to pay something, but it'll be less than other people.
What does that mean, though?
What?
What is insurance?
Insurance is, the idea is that you pay a little bit each month.
Why should I do that?
Over time.
Over time.
In order that if you have some unforeseen thing happen, such as a car accident or a fire to your house.
Or a murder.
That's life insurance. That's different.
No, if I murder someone.
That's not going to be covered by insurance.
Okay. Continue though.
Then instead of having to come up with some lump sum of cash or borrow money,
which I'm really good at borrowing money.
Well, aren't all of us students good at borrowing money?
No, there's a skill.
It's a skill.
Yes.
Can you? I mean, you could strike a good deal in loans. You could be like, I'm haggling with the guy and I got good interest rates.
You go to your grandma with dementia. She'll forget every time until she runs that account dry. She doesn't need it right now. She has lived a great life.
She does. Give pass it on to the new generation.
Yes.
But so in order to get this insurance that will save you from being in a situation that's bad, I'm gonna need you to get out your phone right now. Okay.
Get out your phone. I'm getting it.
Get out your phone.
I got it.
Call.
Okay.
614-486-7300.
Could you repeat that?
That's 614.
Yeah.
486-7300.
7770.
No, 7300.
7300.
Hey, call
zero.
A representative will answer. Tell him, Ben and Zach told me that you guys can offer me good insurance. What can you offer me?
What if he doesn't know us?
What?
What if the representative doesn't know? What if he hates us?
Hopefully that's not the case.
We can't just hope. We have to have insurance.
We have to know. We have to have insurance on that. Hmm. Is there like insurance for your feelings?
Feelings insurance.
Feelings insurance. Like, I don't want my feelings to get hurt. I'm going to get insurance on that.
He hurt my feelings. I'm suing. Well, you don't have feeling insurance, so you are going to lose everything.
You don't have it. You're losing everything.
Let me take your house and your car and your baby, all because you told someone they look ugly. Anyway, that's great. I know what insurance is, but I'm glad to have a refresh. Yes, call a Hedman England agency. They love you. They love us. They love everyone. They're lovely people. They love, love, love. Love, love, love. Right?
Yes, they do.
Good.
That is true.
Good.
So, originally, this movie was going to be done by Antoine Fuqua, I think. Antoine Fuqua.
Perfect.
The Fuqua Films banner. It was supposed to be a very serious movie originally.
Man.
In the vein of Die Hard, according to Wikipedia. Mm. But they turned it into a lighthearted action comedy during the development process.
They looked at the audience. They're like, they're a bunch of stupid people.
Lady Gaga was going to be the character that Sandra Bullock played. The handler
at the end, yeah.
But she was in House of Gucci. How do you feel about Lady Gaga being like an actress basically at this point?
I don't know. The Rock's an actor. Harry Styles is an actor. People
like,
are becoming
it's
actors.
Not enough to be a musician anymore.
You get bored once you win enough Grammys.
Just be a musician. You have to be an actor too. You can't just be an actor. You have to make an album. Like, why can't people just stick with what they're doing?
No, then they write a book too.
It pushes out the people who could actually be talented on their own merit, not based on branding.
No, I agree. I agree. I think Megan Thee Stallion should make a book called
Yeah. The book.
It's just a button on the front page. Bleh. And every page is like the art to
How to bleh.
How to in 12 steps. Step 1. Bleh. I hate her.
Why do you not like Megan Thee Stallion?
She annoys me. I don't know. I don't like that sound.
Yeah.
That she makes. I don't like when she sticks out her
Ratchet.
Tongue like that. Yeah, I guess.
Bougie classic. Blah.
All right. Yeah. No, you're right. So, Ben, we've said a lot of negative things. What are some good things that actually came out of this movie?
I already mentioned it, but those two actors, Aaron Taylor-Johnson and Brian Tyree Henry, who played Tangerine and Lemon.
Oh, Quicksilver and Fastos.
Oh, what?
From the MCU.
Really? Seriously? Yeah,
they're both from the MCU.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's why I recognize them.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's Quicksilver. Okay. Okay. That makes sense. And then Fastos from
Eternals.
Okay. Yeah.
He's like the engineer.
That's how I. Okay. Right. Yeah. They were very funny, I think, for the most part.
I enjoy the actor for Fastos.
Yeah, especially
Henry
Lemon.
Something.
I think Brian Tyree Henry.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially, yeah, he was especially good. I think he was my breakout actor of the movie.
He's sassy in everything he does, and I find it hilarious. I love.
Yeah, I know. It works really well in this movie.
I think it's worked well in all the movies he's been in. He needs to be like in a larger movie though.
Yeah.
You know, Brad Pitt's getting old. Let's put him. Let's see, who's the new up and Timothy Chalamet, the new face of cinema, the greatest actor that has ever lived, little skeleton boy. That's what they call him. They should put him in a movie with this guy, Henry. And it would be called Big and Little.
So do you want to discuss the controversy in the casting?
Tell me about that. What is it?
Apparently the casting of non-Asian characters such as Brad Pitt and Joey King prompted accusations of whitewashing.
Mm.
Because it is based on a Japanese novel.
Oh, I did not know that.
So
is the main character Japanese in the novel?
That's probably it. I would guess most of the characters would be Japanese in the novel.
I don't know.
I think it's fine.
It's an English audience.
It's an English audience, and they turned it into like a global movie. There's like British characters and Russian characters and Japanese characters. And yeah, I guess you could be like, well, it'd be better if...
Where's the Finnish? Where's the Finns?
The Finns?
Yes, they're not in here.
Where's the Latvians?
Exactly.
Where's the Estonians?
Where's the Yugoslavians? Tell me.
I don't have an answer for you, Zach.
Then, if I don't see a Yugoslavian in the next Marvel movie, I'm going to boycott Marvel.
Where's the Armenians? Also, what do you think of Bad Bunny being in the movie?
Yeah, that was stupid.
Bad Bunny going with the sunglasses.
That was dumb.
Why are we... We're back on that, criticizing the movie.
No, let's just... I don't care. Ben, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
We said the two good things about the movie. And the thing is, I'm a big Brad Pitt fan, but... Here's my thing with Brad Pitt that I've realized. Brad Pitt is... He's Brad Pitt. And he is a good actor. But I think he sort of doesn't... He's not quite... He can't quite be the highest level of acting in terms of like...
Do you think he's cheaper?
Quality? Yeah. And here's why. So who's the greatest actor of our generation?
Oh, Ben, that's hard. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes, okay. So, and yeah, that's a generalization. It's probably the easy answer.
No, Ben, but that's true.
You know
true.
What Daniel Day-Lewis doesn't have? He doesn't have a public image other than being in movies.
He doesn't. He's
you
a blob
know
in
what
my
Daniel
face.
Day-Lewis does when he's not in a movie?
Yes.
I have no idea. He just goes off the face of the planet. The only thing he does is like grow facial hair and go be in movies and then say he's retiring and disappear for 10 years and then unretire to be in some movie.
Do you think there's a better actor than him though?
I can't think of... Well, that's the thing. There's not a better actor
Joaquin
than him.
Joaquin Phoenix.
No, he's not better.
Really?
He's not better.
You don't think his depth is better?
I don't think Joaquin Phoenix has the range that Daniel Day-Lewis
okay,
has.
But we're talking about range, though. How valuable is that?
Range is extremely valuable.
I mean, in terms of the full spectrum of an actor?
I think Joaquin Phoenix is kind of an actor who is more typecast.
But what about... Okay, no, you're right. I agree with you about Joaquin, but range in an actor... But
maybe Willem Dafoe. I might go with Dafoe over Joaquin Phoenix.
Well, Willem has a lot of range, too. That's the thing. So... I don't know. It's hard because range is great, but if you have a really, really good actor in a really specific role that they do way better in than anybody else, I would say he's a better actor because of that specific thing that he's in. I don't know if actor has to be range, you know?
Yeah, but I think that I guess that's a good point, but Daniel Day-Lewis is like exceptional, and he puts his whole heart and soul
into
like
everything. And I agree, that's why I said him. But yeah, I don't know. I still think he's the greatest of our time right now.
You could think about like another guy that might pop into people's head would be like Tom Hanks.
No.
But I don't know. There's just he also has range. He can play Mr. Rogers, and he can play that one guy in Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that sets Daniel Day-Lewis apart is his selectiveness as well. He's extremely picky with his roles. There might be like one movie that he did that was like kind of didn't turn out as well.
I will say one of my favorite actors right now is Pedro Pascal. I think he has potential to be really, really good, but he's picked a lot of crappy projects. He's picked Wonder Woman and, you know, stuff like that.
I think the other thing is I think Daniel Day-Lewis got his start in more theater, which I wonder gives you an advantage when you start thinking about best.
Is he more sophisticated?
Because it might he might seem come across as more sophisticated than like a Hollywood actor.
No, I get that. That makes sense. But well, yeah, I think it's Daniel.
You could probably point to some like obscure indie actor or something who you're like, this guy's really good, but just because he's in like a artsy movie doesn't necessarily make him
better
than everyone else.
I agree. There's a lot of factors and a lot of different definitions of what a good actor is. But yeah, the one that came to mind was Dan. Now, I guess going back to the great things, I did like, you know, I did like Brad Pitt. I thought he was good, but as you were saying, and I cut you off, and I'm sorry, Ben, I apologize. You forgive me.
I forgive you.
Good, great. Now, he didn't really go that deep into his character. He's kind of like this cheap character who's looking for meaning in life. He's depressed. He's going to a therapist named Brad. And I just really didn't like it. He's the main character, Ben. And he's just like, I don't know. Do you get that? Like,
yeah.
He was the main character, and we're supposed to rely on his emotional depth.
It's like he is just cheap. Supposed to be a person filling in for the main character role, and everyone else, I don't know. You're right. He doesn't have nearly as much emotional depth as pretty much anybody else in the movie.
Exactly. And we had the most screen time. Well, one of the most screen times with him. And he's just funny. He doesn't say a serious line in the movie. When you have the main character, it's like the main. It's like Cars 2, where Mater's the main character.
Yeah.
You know, it felt like that. Just hollow. Like we're like Mater, Larry the Cable Guy. I'm sorry, you don't have emotional depth through Mater. I'm sorry. Finn McMissile had more depth than you. Sally had more depth than you, and she's in 5 minutes of that movie. 5 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, because even like the prince, the girl, she like cried in one scene.
Yeah.
We just get nothing from.
And we don't care about her too. So it's just like, who are we supposed to care about? I cared about the twins, Tangerine and Lemon or whatever. You did too. You want to know why? Because they had depth. They had serious moments. They had funny moments. Not just funny moments.
Yeah. Well, another thing that I think is like everybody liked Brad Pitt at the end, sort of. And he like killed like three people. Not on purpose, but like, I don't know.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I don't care.
It was a weird circumstances.
No, I don't care. Forgiven. Yeah. There's not a way to describe it other than cheap.
Yeah.
Really? Like McDonald's, but not McDonald's. Like Cane's.
Cane's.
If you eat a lot of Cane's, you get sick.
That's true. Cane's is good, but you can't eat it too much.
Exactly. Like, you love the Cane sauce. You enjoy it. You laugh during the movie. You enjoy it. But if you eat, like, a six-finger combo with double bread instead of coleslaw, you're going to get a stomach ache. You're going to go straight to the toilet. Really, it goes straight. It doesn't settle. You don't digest it. It just slivers through you. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's grease. The grease helps it. You slither down.
Huh. Yeah. That's a good way to describe it. It's a popcorn movie, as Sean Chandler would say.
Yeah. No, yes. Thank you. Yes. Okay. I was thinking cheap, something I was trying to figure out. Yes. Thank
you,
Sean.
This whole time, I let you talk just to say one word.
It's frustrating.
From Sean Chandler.
No, oh, Sean Chandler's, he's amazing. We love him.
We would love to have Sean Chandler on the podcast.
No, he's awesome. Maybe he's
our guy to email. Oh, my goodness.
We
had this situation. Shout out Orthopraxy Podcast.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Can we tell this story?
Yeah.
Is this, like, official, like, that we can say this? Or is
No. It's but let's just say someone. Let's just say someone.
So Orthopraxy is a podcast about living out the Christian life in like a practical way. So instead of orthodoxy, which is like theology, it's like how do we apply that to our daily lives?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they got a big name
in
the Christian, especially the Christian circle that we're in. He's a big name.
Yeah, and he's in probably three or four big circles. Yeah.
And he got the guy who does this, he got this guy to come on the show just by emailing him. And so we were like, maybe you can never underestimate the power of a good email.
Sure.
So that's just an inspiring story. And we'll shout out that episode when it comes out.
Mm. Well, we should.
Yeah.
We should just link the podcast.
Yeah. In the episode description.
Sure.
Because there's just, you can never make too many friends in the podcast world. So.
True.
We're always trying to be on everyone's good side.
We are good friends with two podcasts now.
Yeah.
Right?
Good close friends.
Sure.
I
mean, sure, if you want to say that.
Yeah. but now, the time that has come to do our newsstand It's news. It's a stand. It's newsstand. Okay. So today, I have a little article. This article revolves around U.S. Customs and Border Patrol in Laredo, Columbia, Solidarity, International Bridge. Which, first of all, why are we naming our bridges something that complicated? Just call it a bridge. So it goes, it connects from Laredo, Texas, over the Rio Grande, setting the scene, with the Mexican state of Nuevo León. Well, in this shipment, there were a bunch of baby wipes. Normal shipment. Turns out that these baby wipes were no normal baby wipes. In fact, you could even say they might have been powder, but not baby powder. You know what kind of powder?
Cocaine.
Ding, 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 ding.
So they stuffed them in the wipes? Or?
In the wipes, there were $11.8 million worth of cocaine. So that would be 1,532 pounds of cocaine in the baby wipes.
Imagine they just forgot so, and they sell them.
I mean, I just don't know. Like, how do you expect this to work? Because drug sniffing dogs can sniff through baby wipes.
Do they have that as a custom? For every border patrol, do they
sniff?
I don't know.
I mean, you'd think.
You ever been down there?
No, I have not.
I've been up. I haven't been down.
This seizure is a prime example of border security management and how it prevents dangerous narcotics from reaching our communities. Well, that's extremely descriptive. Alberto Flores is commenting on the situation. So I guess they suspected it of narcotics. It's just... you just never really know what they're going to try to do to get drugs over the border.
I'm just imagining. They forget and they sell it. And it's in a baby's RS.
Yeah.
And they buy it. And she goes home and she's wiping her baby's butt. And in her butt is just cocaine. And the baby...
The baby started to act a little weird.
No, like, you rub... Like, the baby has snot. So you use this rag to to wipe the baby's nose.
Oh, no.
And the baby's like...
And now you have a coke addict for the rest of your life.
The baby's eyes are all red. No, that's just bizarre. Yeah, I don't know how you think that would work. I'm assuming the dogs are heavily involved in these processes. Now, the crazy thing is that's 11.8 million?
Yeah.
That's insane. Now,
that's a lot of cocaine lost, too. Think about that. Like, this is a lot of money to lose, and... to be putting stuff in baby wipes. If you're strategizing how to get this cocaine over the border, I feel like you're not going to...
Put all your eggs in one basket.
Like, they're white packages of baby... Maybe this is the cocaine once it's been confiscated from the baby wipes, but like...
Show me.
They're kind of similar in design to what you would imagine cocaine being packed in. Right?
Yeah.
So it's just odd to me that you'd pick baby wipes. I don't know what would be your method of getting stuff over the border.
Stuff or cocaine?
Cocaine. Specifically. I guess we'll go with cocaine.
Ooh.
It could be anything illegal, but
ooh. You know, you have to really, it has to be hidden. You know, it has to be in a different chemical. It has to be in a different chemical formula almost, but before you get it there. Maybe the ingredients.
You have to have some way to like make it difficult to smell. I don't know how the scent works with drug sniffing dogs. I'm going to be honest. I don't really know how that process works, but it seems like if there's a way to block that, to like enwrap it in something that
I'm guessing there's not.
I mean, they would have done it by now if they could figure it out.
Yeah. But. And I'm guessing that there's just not.
Yeah.
It's probably potent.
Right. And the dogs are specifically trained to sniff.
Well, it's because they like it.
Yeah.
They go towards it. They're like, this is great. I love sniffing this, you know? But they're like, now I know why the humans do it. But I would probably send over the ingredients, you know? I don't know what I've made pure cocaine in my lab once. Pure cocaine. And it wasn't white. I forget what it was. So I don't know how it works.
That's like the little baby song, pure cocaine.
Sure, whatever. And I don't listen to that crap. Yeah, like if you could liquidify, what is it?
Yeah. Litigate. No.
Liquidate.
Litigate. Liquidity.
Liquidify. I'm serious. What is it?
I don't know. I actually don't know.
Liquify.
Liquify. Liquify okay. is what
I would probably say. Liquefy the ingredients and carry them over in buckets of grease. Like good old Gus Fring or something.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, that's the thing. They made Breaking Bad. Now they ruined everything as far as what you need to do.
Do you think the Border Patrol was like, whoa, we did not know that they were doing that? Do you think?
In what?
Like in they're watching Breaking Bad.
And they were like, whoa.
This is new. Do you think they're so stupid that they are watching
Los Pollos Hermanos?
They're watching Breaking Bad and they're like, they can ship them in trucks? What? We haven't been checking the trucks.
We haven't been checking the chicken trucks.
Yeah. We just let them go by. McDonald's. That would be a good one. People don't trust McDonald's, but
remember the Tim Dillon story of the little kids who were
working at the McDonald's. That was so funny. Why would that family just send the food and want a refund? Who cares? That made me so mad. Let the kids work. I agree with them. Anyway, just yeah, listen to Tim Dillon if you hate yourself. And
we're not gonna like. He's not a friend of the podcast. We just both listen to him.
Sure. Yeah. That's tough. So if I were to ship other things across the border, I would probably not use trucks. I'd probably use the trucks is like the way to do it in bulk, right? So if you're gonna move things, you gotta figure out like another way. Like, are there canals that I could go through from New Jersey?
Secret tunnels?
Sure.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe what about
submarine?
What about flying something and like accidentally dropping something out of a plane into the desert?
I feel like they would shoot it.
Yeah, it's true.
But like if it's like a desert that nobody's at.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like they would know that you flew over the border. Like,
and they would know that
they have eyes on that sort of thing.
Yeah, and you gotta like go out and get it from the desert and still walk over the border.
No.
You're saying drop it. Well,
you have to have people on the other side.
You're saying drop it in Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah, they would fall. They would track you.
Yeah, they definitely would.
If you're unidentified, they're just going to shoot you down.
Right. That's a UFO. Technically, they would be right.
Do you believe in UFOs, Ben? Do you believe?
Are there objects in the sky that people have not identified?
I mean, yes, no, there are. Ben, the one I'm talking about, you know.
The aliens?
Yes.
No.
No?
I don't believe in that.
Okay.
Well, I'm not Alex Jones.
No, you're not. You just don't open up the possibilities. But, yeah. I don't know. What would you do?
I don't know. Like, I feel like every idea I've thought of has been thwarted by your like the really the only thing you could do is somehow try to make a stronger scent, but I don't think that's gonna work. Cause
so you think it's the dogs that do it every time?
No. But I think they could still figure it out without the dogs. That's the thing.
Yeah,
there'd still be some way. They just like if they're like, oh, the dogs, it's something throwing them off the scent. They would just like
they have rip to have some type apart. Of sensors too.
Yeah,
some type. Like a sand sensor. When you go through the airport, they scan, and if there's sand in there, they have to test it on these strips with these liquids to see if it's cocaine. My mom brought sand from Hawaii back.
And why?
Because don't ask. We were all so confused, and they had to test it for cocaine.
I guess that makes sense. You mixed it in with that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways to detect powders. I'm saying we need the ingredients, Ben. You can't just... It's so easy.
Better ingredients, better cocaine.
Yeah. Well, the ingredients of cocaine are a little bit different. Like, I wonder what the raws are.
Do you want me to look it up?
Sure.
What is cocaine?
Do you remember the song?
It's from Coca Leaves.
Yeah. Do you remember the song in Community, like in the elevator? Or whatever. I don't know how it goes, but... It was always in the background, and people would always hum it throughout the show.
I don't know.
Really?
Well, maybe a little bit, actually, yeah.
Okay.
Huh. It's weird.
So you can't synthesize it? I mean, you can,
It's a purified chemical, cocaine hydrochloride, so it's, like, isolated from the plant. So I guess you could bring the plant over.
But you need raw extract of the plant and then something else, or no? I'm just, I don't know. I don't know how to make it. I forget, okay? I forget. But... You would probably you probably won't be able to disguise the scent. Now, you could probably... Another thing is underground. You were saying, like, you could fly above. But a submarine, if you have tunnels underground or something like that, you really... This is really a question of how do you get past the Border Patrol more than cocaine specifically. You could kill them all.
Yeah, I mean, yes. But then you would create more problems.
I know, but
you
that's...
You can't just, like, kill the Border Patrol without anybody knowing about
well,
it.
Well, I know. It's the most practical, though.
Yeah.
Like, in the moment.
Well, for in the moment, yes. For if you're just trying to get over the border and not trying to, like...
We're not thinking long term. We're thinking about the specific situation.
Okay, then, yeah. You could definitely probably outgun a singular border patrol.
Do you think they have, like, turrets? Do you think it's, like, Balloons Tower Defense?
I don't know.
Do you know what that is?
Yes, because I know somebody who's a successful YouTuber.
Oh.
And doing Balloons Tower Defense. Ryan Mihalik, YT, I think, something like that.
Okay.
So now we're just shouting out everyone we know.
Sure. Why don't we just let everyone...
30,000 subscribers trying to get to 100,000.
Wow. Where are you going from?
Cross country.
Oh, nice. That's a lot of subscribers. For Balloons Tower Defense.
Yes. It's a lot of subscribers.
That's actually hilarious. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know people still...
I mean, yeah, that's...
I remember playing that a long time ago. I'm glad. I like the game. That's cool. Good for what's his face? Whatever. UT, YT, whatever. Go watch it there. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's all I have on the situation. I don't know.
Yeah. I think we can pretty much wrap this guy up.
Well, we agree. We should just kill them.
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm content.
This is a completely hypothetical and theoretical situation.
I mean, we're not going
to
kill anyone.
Condoning
but like,
doing anything like
that. Even
this.
You as the listener have to agree. For this specific... If you were to... As a man... No, okay, sorry. I'm not even going to say that. That's not great. If you can compartmentalize... That this situation is by itself without unintended consequences affecting any other area of your life, killing them would be the easiest way to get from point A to point B.
Yes.
Now, if you're smart, you'd think in other areas, but we're not thinking about other areas specifically. So we gun them.
Yeah.
Or something else. You never know. Ray gun.
Or use sleeping.
Or shrink gun.
Or sleeping powder for their Fiji water.
Put laxatives at all. No. They're in a line in the bathroom.
They're all going to the bathroom. They can't stop the drugs from coming over the border. Oh no.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do anything, can you? I mean, if you're crapping your pants, you can't protect the border.
Yeah, you can't. I guess not.
Practical ways.
Depends on how many.
Well, then I choose that. I feel like I'd get in less trouble saying that than killing them.
Yeah.
Okay, I picked that.
All right. Well,
I'm content. Are you content?
I'm content.
Okay. That's fine with me.
I'm content.
If I wasn't content and you were, I would become content.
Right, right.
So, sir.
Yeah. I'm content to close the vault then.
Sure.
How do we want to do this?
Oh, man. I don't know. How about I just clap? I haven't done it. Ready? 3, 2.
Woo! That was funny. Oh, it's the brother. What? Oh, no.